Well, we left off yesterday with bearing witness. The blessings that come to you, even more blessings come to you if you can witness this no nature yourself. Feel it. And the next line here, next two lines really, are about the qualities of Zazen. Here, effect and cause are the same. The way is neither two nor three. Effect and cause are the same. Often, well, the way I'm used to hearing effect, cause and effect used is transcending cause and effect. Cause and effect is used in various Buddhist texts. It's the law of karma. It's one thing leads to another. And we are in the Eightfold Path. In fact, the studies that I did there recently, I talked about understanding the law of karma. That was one of the right parts of right view. Understanding what leads to something else. And you could say, I think, that our life is full of this looking into cause and effect and pushing things. I want this effect. What is going to cause it? Either for a while there, charged Lars $1 for every time he left the toilet seat up. And that had the desired effect. Now he's going to be a great husband one day. I don't know if she did it for that or for herself, but at any rate, it had the effect. He now understands, he gets that. And, I know if I exercise, I feel good. But somehow I don't get around to exercising, so I have to look into the cause of that. And we're all about causes and effects as parents, as human beings, as people who work, trying to work out what will work. And the Buddha was also about cause and effect. He starts with suffering. What is the cause of our suffering? He really looked into that. And that was the beginning of his, or that's the way, that's where he starts. Zazen, though, is stepping out of the world of cause and effect. It's stepping out of the world of karma temporarily. We do that both by not generating karma. We just sit here. We're not doing anything. We're just letting things be in the world. And also internally, we work. We do one way or another toward not getting caught by cause and effect. Not getting caught up in it, not caring about it, even. What caused that noise? Who made that noise over there? I wonder. What's the cause of that? In Zazen, it's just noise. Okay. Where is my life going? How can I cause it some happiness. Don't care. So in one quality of Zazen is to give up cause and effect, to give up worrying about cause and effect. And strangely, that leads to later to more wisely seeing cause and effect, more deeply seeing cause and effect. What is it that's really bothering me? But in order to get there, we give up cause and effect. We give up karma, the world of cause and effect. So that's one quality. The other here is the way is neither two nor three. I looked that one up. There's so many twos and threes and fours and fives in Buddhism. This could mean anything. But in this case, it seems to refer to the way is not two vehicles or three vehicles. So it's not the Mahayana and the Hinayana, it's not the Mahayana, Hinayana, Vajrayana. It's not sectarian. The way, it's even beyond within Buddhism. We in Buddhism don't have a patent on Zazen, on quiet, on giving up ourselves. That's owned by everybody. There is no one way. And when we do Zazen, all of those things fall away. All of the forms that we hold so dear. When Zen is a finger pointing at the moon, and when you find the moon, you don't need the finger anymore. I'm so happy that we at least have that in our doctrine, or as Ikkyu says, there are many paths up the mountain, but at the top of the mountain there's just one shining moon. So that's another aspect of Zazen, quality of Zazen, that it is neither two nor three, it is one, just one way. And that's shared with many traditions. With form that is no form, going and coming, we are never astray. With thought that is no thought, singing and dancing are the voice of the law, here and beyond. Hakuin really talks about the effect, not the quality so much, but the effect of Zazen. That's the way I see it. With form that is no form. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. That's just this rhythm here. Form is also form. Ice is water, but it's also ice. We have our own human form. And we're no form. So it's not that form is only no form. Form is form, and form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. With form that is no form, which has no form as its root. Going and coming, we are never astray. When we understand this, when we understand that we're both ice and water, when we understand that we're both human and Buddha, then going, we can go or come. We can travel freely. This is a very important point to me. And the deeper meaning of this one is that we can go, and going and coming often refer to this in Buddhist literature. Going and coming between those two worlds, between the world of Buddha and our own world. We can go and come freely. We can go to the world of quiet, let that take the lead. We can come back to ourselves. We can die freely, and we can resurrect, come back. The Buddha's called the Tathagata, and Tathagata means one who has thus gone. But it also, we read in our book on the course that we did on the roots of Buddhism, also, strangely, means, could mean, one who has thus come, because of the ah, can mean both things. So it's one, the one who has thus gone and the one who has thus come. And we are called to both go, to leave the world, as we're doing now, working toward leaving ourselves, and come back. We're called to be comfortable in both those worlds, both the world of death of ourselves and the world of life, to be comfortable in both. Then we're never astray. One idea is, that's real freedom. We think of freedom as being able to go do what we want in our life, in the world of life. But real freedom is to be able to die. That's three-dimensional freedom, not just two-dimensional, to be going on this horizontal plane, going around and choosing this or choosing that, to be able to give up ourselves. That's true freedom. With thought that is no thought, singing and dancing are the voice of the law. So with form that is no form, going and coming are never astray. We're never astray. With thought that is no thought, again, Zazen. Singing and dancing are the voice of the law. Of the law, the law there means the Dharma, the voice of the Dharma. So the voice of the Dharma doesn't come from me anymore. Did it ever come from me? Doesn't come from the great teachers. Doesn't come from the words on a page. The voice of the Dharma is the singing of the world that you hear. It's the dance that goes on all around us of the birds and the deer and our families and the cars. It's that singing and dancing. That's the voice of the Dharma. And then we can hear it when we know thought that is no thought. Then we're surrounded by the Dharma. We don't have to come here to get the Dharma. Again, that's real freedom. And here we go with freedom again. Boundless and free is the sky of samadhi. Bright, the full moon of wisdom. So we have the sky of samadhi and the bright full moon of wisdom. In the sky of samadhi, samadhi is the word that means zazen. Literally it means to gathering together, putting together. Sam, like together, like many English cognates of sam or san mean together. And adi means putting together. And it's like gathering together. Gathering together everything. And you could also think of it, maybe I do, as gathering together both sides of your brain, left and right hemispheres. Also, seshin means to gather. In Japanese, means gathering your heart mind. So, and the sky of samadhi, in the sky of samadhi, we're boundless and free. We can go anywhere. We can do samadhi anywhere. Fly to all corners. And the moon is the moon of wisdom is that which understands the sky, that understands samadhi. So the samadhi itself, which is just no thinking, it's your Buddha nature expressing itself. And then there is wisdom, which is that which understands that in ourselves, that reflects upon it, that understands it. You could say that understands it as myself, where I identify with that boundless way, as well as myself. And both of those things are important, both to experience samadhi and also to understand it. Truly, is anything missing now? Is anything missing now? When you have both sides, then you have everything. And in samadhi itself, let's start with that. In samadhi itself, in no self, in Buddha nature, Buddha mind, there we're not lacking anything. Rinzai has this great line: what do you lack in your everyday manifold activities? What is it you lack? Don't the six senses always shine? You are Buddha, he says. You are no different from Shakya. When we do zazen, we can get a taste of that, of not lacking anything. It feels like, I mean, the activity of zazen is to lose ourselves, is to shed things, just to lack everything. But the irony is, when we do that, then we have everything. We have everything we need. We don't lack for anything. We don't want for anything. We've got it all right here. It's like that Whitman poem that I read earlier. The child went forth, and everything he met, he became. The Phoebe bird, song of the Phoebe bird, and the water lilies, and the newborn lambs. Everything he had, and I was taught to make, to through zazen, make everything your content. Seems like it's getting small, zazen, but it's really getting big. It's learning to be big, to contain everything, and to have the feeling of not missing anything, not lacking anything. In our everyday life, there's always something missing. There's always something wrong. We're always missing something and lacking something. Here, we learn not to lack anything. Nirvana is right here before our eyes. Right here before our eyes, this very place is the lotus land, this very body, the Buddha. right here, this floor that we're looking at, this is nirvana, according to our Buddha nature. That aspect of ourselves, for that aspect, everything is just perfect the way it is. That's so easy to say, and so difficult to do, to really feel, that this broken life of ours and world of ours is really perfect in some way, just the way it is. That's the high bar that we set to feel. This lotus land, this very place is the lotus land. Wherever you go is the lotus land. And there is some aspect of you and I that can feel that wherever we go. If we have done our work here, then we can carry it out into the world. As Hakuin felt he couldn't do after his first great awakening. He couldn't see that every place was the lotus land in some way. This very body is the Buddha. Coming back to the very beginning, all beings by nature are Buddha. Your body is the Buddha. So what are you going to do with that Buddha body of yours? Going to hang out underneath the Bo tree and bliss out? That's what the Buddha wanted to do, according to the old stories. He just wanted to sit there. And because it would be difficult to teach people this, it would be difficult to go out, and it was comfortable here. That's an old Buddha story. And then Brahman had a talk with him, said, "You can't do that. You gotta go. You gotta get up. You gotta travel. You gotta share this understanding of yours. You've got to share this light of yours." I think we're called as Buddhists to travel with this Buddha body of ours, to travel to all corners of the sky and the earth, in all kinds of weather, to not shrink from the world, but to go forth into the world with quiet confidence that we are both ourselves and the Buddha, that we may appear to be ice, but that we are also water. And it's incumbent upon us to give ourselves away as we travel, to give ourselves to our activity, to whatever we're doing, not to hold back, but to give ourselves away, to give ourselves to our family at dinner time, to give ourselves to our co-workers at meetings, to give ourselves fully to the garden when we're gardening. And in that way, that's the way we help the world most. It seems a small way to help the world, this Buddhist way of helping, but it's, I think, think in some ways it's the most profound way to affect the world, is to, but we don't do it unless we get out there and are brave enough to meet the world with a different quality of being, and not, we ought not pull back from helping. When we help together with the Buddha, then we help in a different way, in a way that is more effective, I think. It's not a cure-all, I don't think, this practice. But it is a great life's work to discover deeper and deeper this Buddha nature of ours. And then, as best we can, to go out and share that with the world. Share that with the world by our actions. We've got just a little bit of time left, but it's important time here at the tail end of a retreat, because we've been building, without even knowing it, bodhicitta energy, practice energy. And now is a time in which we really can sink deeper into understanding, into feeling, witnessing, bearing witness to this Buddha nature of ours, this quiet nature. So let's not waste this time, but really cultivate it, really use it.